We're joined by Dr. Vincent Olsen Reader, language policy expert and RailPol managing director. He says Parliament's decision to make English an official language has created unresolved conflicts and existing protections for Te Reo Māori and New Zealand Sign Language, and is raising concerns about the Crown's commitment to its language obligations. Thanks for joining us on the program once again, Vincent. Tēnā koe.
Morena, Dale. Morena, te tuakana o tira koutou. How's it all looking up there? Is it a nice day?
Yeah, it's always nice, mate, because we're standing up and we're standing proud, and that makes it
a beautiful
day. It's a beautiful day.
Love
here.
It.
Weather's not so great, but our people are. So, Chief.
Kia ora.
Our Parliament's passed this English language bill, which didn't really need to be passed. But anyway, politics of distraction seem to be the go-to in 26. Why do you believe the legislation actually creates conflicts with existing official language laws, and particularly Te Tūrimo Te Reo Māori of 2016 and the New Zealand Sign Language protections, Vincent?
Yeah, that's a really good pātai, because I've been asking that that question a lot of our parliamentarians over the last few months that this bill has been sitting in the House. So for me, it really drills down to how the bill progressed through the House. I noticed when it first came out, I mean, I don't know if you've looked at it, it's the shortest bill in history. I mean, it's a tiny little bill with no forethought, no considerable planning behind it. You know, it's just a bit of a vomit from that side of the House, I think, about what they want to push forward in their political agenda. But essentially, my overall problem was that when you introduce a bill like that to the House, it's supposed to go through some checks and balances that ensure things like Te Tiriti o Waitangi is matched up against the bill, and the bill is kind of assessed for how well it upholds the articles of Te Tiriti o Waitangi, and that never happened. Plenty of opportunity for MPs, select committee, to go back to the bill's drafter and say, do this work, and they never did. And so essentially what we've got is you've got a third official language now rubbing right up against Te Tūrimo Te Reo Māori that says Te Reo Māori is a taonga, and the use of that word taonga is directly lifted, obviously, from the Waitangi Tribunal report of 86, where I believe it was Sir Hirini Moko Mead, you can correct me on this if somebody knows, but I believe it was his submission that said Te Reo Māori is a taonga under Article 2 of Te Tiriti. None of that preparatory work happened. So now that door has been completely left wide open for when the inevitable comes, which is somebody who agrees with the political agenda of this government will do something, potentially in the public service or somewhere else. They've already tried to get rid of Te Reo Māori because of the mana of English or whatever they think is important. And it creates workplace conflict, but that's now escalated to legislative conflict because they're going to use the English Language Act to bolster their claims. So I'm quite concerned that that none of that work happened in the lead up to this bill, which means MPs never really got to hear the full range of possibilities that could happen as a result of this particular bill. Really disappointed, I have to say, in our Labour MPs who drew on all of our submissions against the bill in their speeches in the House, drew on all of the excellent things that that submissions raised, and then voted for it three times. So particularly disappointed now that we've got bipartisan support for this bill, which means getting rid of it or challenging it becomes that much more difficult because we can't lean on an opposition party like Labour for support. But I do have to mihi to Te Pāti Māori and Te Pāti Kākāriki and our independent MPs who all voted against it.
Yeah, it does seem an immature approach, doesn't it? And what we do know is that Parliament, just like our legal system, is all based on precedents. And as we see, a piece of legislation that could have been written on the back of an envelope going through Parliament in many ways unchallenged and ignoring parliamentary norms, it's a piece of fast-track legislation, really, isn't it? Sloppy and, I guess, ultimately unnecessary.
Yeah, well, 100% unnecessary, because nowhere in the world will you find a nation where English is a widely spoken language. You won't find it official anywhere else except for the US, and that's very new. They only did that in March 2025. And they only did that to get rid of the American Sign Language, Spanish, and low proficiency English provisions that they used to have in America for their citizens. So they've got millions of citizens now that just can't access government services, and it's an absolute travesty. And this bill kind of smacks a little bit of that, I suppose. But you won't find English official anywhere else, unless it's defined as a secondary official language, like Ireland or Canada, where you've got two full status languages. So you have to have equal provisions always in both of those languages. So we don't have that here. So completely unnecessary, very immature, very underthought. And I think it's a bit of a smack in the face, I think, for those of us who really care about te reo. And I'm really hoping that that there's some Labour candidates out there who are listening to this and thinking, man, I need to go back and sort my party out, because desperately disappointed in that. Yeah, just a waste of time for everyone, I think.
Well, te nau koe, and thanks for raising that. Some won't be au fait with the fact that Labor supported the bill. Perhaps they just wanted to go through and get rid of it because it has, and it's part of a political policies of distraction that we've witnessed as we lead up to November 7. With us today, Dr. Vincent Olsen-Reader. I haven't had a chance to talk with you, although I wanted to, Vincent, about the word kaitiakitanga and the way it's been recognised. And I know that the news came through a week or so back. But isn't it interesting that this concept has been picked up internationally? And as we know, our reo's, globally hot and locally not, as the saying goes. But I also noticed one time when I was talking with an Irish guest on our program, who was so enamoured with the word whānau and the concepts that whānau suggest. Just thinking it's a most beautiful concept, the most beautiful word. Who was it who found kaitiakitanga was the best word in the world for 2026? I don't even know how these things come to surface. Can you shed any light on it, mate?
Yeah. So people might have heard of the language learning platform Babel. I think it's pronounced, it might be Babel, but it's a sort of similar to other platforms like Duolingo and things that people might have heard of. So it's a global language learning platform, and they ran this, I suppose you call it a campaign to find out what's the world's most beautiful word. They appointed a whole lot of linguists from different places as a panel to come and get together and determine what they thought were the most beautiful words in the world. They came up with a list of the top 10 languages. There's quite a few languages represented on that list. Te reo Māori obviously came out as their number one word, not just for the sound and the way that the word feels to them, but also its meaning as that all-encompassing standing as someone who's accountable and responsible for something. And so I thought that was really, I think that was a really beautiful moment for our language, because we haven't had many moments to celebrate. And it was lovely to see that there's this international community of language experts, but also a really big company that are standing up for our language. It's because of the way that we as language people connect to other languages. They know the current political context we're in, and they watch the decisions that that Parliament are making at the moment, and they're very aware that we aren't very well taken care of by our politicians in Parliament at the moment, our coalition government. So I think they're watching and bringing together a whole lot of international love, I think, for language, as well as their expertise. And so when they were making all those decisions, they decided that Kaitiaki would come out on top, and I was pretty chuffed. You know, like it's not often we get a chance to celebrate at the moment. So it was great. I actually thought it was awesome, and I'm looking forward to being able to get back to the place we were a few years ago, where Aotearoa was seen as a little bit of a tuakana and quite progressive for its language revival. Māori people are still looked at that way, but government certainly not.
Great talking with you again, Vincent. Thanks very much. We'll stay in touch. Kia kā.
Yeah, kia ora tēnā.
E te langa tēnā. Thanks very much. Dr. Vincent Olsen-Reader and a wonderful He Nene Hui kōrero with him too, available on our websites, as each of these interviews are. You might like to source it. It's a very interesting conversation with Vincent.